Part 4. Turning the Tide. Robben Island, Cape Town Province, United States of Southern Africa. Solelwa Azania greets me at his writing desk, inviting me to switch places with him so I can enjoy the cool breeze blowing from his window. He apologizes for the mess and insists on clearing the notes off his desk before we continue. Mr. Azania is halfway through his third volume of Rainbow Fist, South Africa at War. This volume happens to be about the subject we are discussing, the turning point against the living dead, the moment when his country pulled itself back from the brink.
This passionate, a rather mundane word to describe one of history's most controversial figures. Some revere him as a savior, some revile him as a monster. But if you ever met Paul Redeker, ever discussed his views of the world and the problems, or more importantly, the solutions to the problems that plague the world, probably the one word that would always cling to your impression of the man is dispassionate. Paul always believed, well, perhaps not always, but at least in his adult life, that humanity's one fundamental flaw was emotion. He used to say that the heart should only exist to pump blood to the brain, that anything else was a waste of time and energy. His papers from university, all dealing with alternate solutions to historical and societal quandaries, were what first brought him to the attention of the apartheid government. Many psychobiographers had tried to label him a racist, but in his own words, racism is a regrettable byproduct of irrational emotion. Others have argued that in order for a racist to hate one group, he must at least love another. Redeker believed both love and hate to be irrelevant. To him, they were impediments of the human condition. And, in his words again, imagine what could be accomplished if the human race would only shed its humanity. Evil. Most would call it that, while others, particularly that small cadre in the center of Pretoria's power, believed it to be an invaluable source of liberated intellect. It was the early 1980s, a critical time for the apartheid government. The country was resting on a bed of nails. You had the ANC, you had the Inkatha Freedom Party, you even had the extremist right-wing elements of the Afrikaner population that would have liked nothing better than open revolt in order to bring about a complete racial showdown. On her border, South Africa faced nothing but hostile nations. And, in the case of Angola, a Soviet-backed Cuban spearheaded civil war. Add to this mixture a growing isolation from the Western democracies, which included a critical arms embargo. And it was no surprise that a last-ditch fight for survival was never far from Pretoria's mind. This is why they enlisted the aid of Mr. Redeker to revise the government's ultra-secret Plan Orange. Orange had been in existence since the apartheid government first came to power in 1948. It was the doomsday scenario for the country's white minority, the plan to deal with an all-out uprising of its indigenous African population. Over the years, it had been updated with the changing strategic outlook of the region. Every decade, that situation grew more and more grim. With multiplying independence of her neighbor states and multiplying voices for freedom from the majority of her own people, those in Pretoria realized that a full-blown confrontation might not just mean the end of the Afrikaner government, but the Afrikaners themselves.